The following is a presentation of Morning Drive Media.
From beautiful Burbank, California, this is an Upside Files podcast feed, and this is Life Ranked. The concept is simple. I have a guest. I have a topic for that guest, and they give me five reasons to support that topic. Get it? Got it? Good. It's like Star Wars ranked over in Force Center, except for it's life. Oh, man. We love to rank life. And with me today is a great guest. I wouldn't bring in a bad guest. Maybe one time I would, but this is not the case. I've been saying that for years, threatening to one day bring in a bad guest, but not today. I have with me from Black Series Rebels, a great Star Wars vodcast over on YouTube and other locations. It is Stephen Ellis. How are you?
I'm good, buddy. I'm good. Thank you for the introduction. I'll try not to be the first poor guest.
No. It's not quality like bad on the mic or bad interview. I'm afraid that one day I'll just have to bring in a bad person.
Oh.
And you're not that guy.
You don't want to do that. Nobody wants to do that.
No one wants to give airtime to a bad person.
There's enough bad people with enough airtime out there.
So today's Life Rank topic came out of a organic text conversation we were having. I have it up here, and suddenly it was like, we were just talking about life, man, you and I. Not even talking about Star Wars. Well, we were talking about Star Wars.
Yeah.
Talking about life, topic of cooking, and I being a podcaster in L.A., jumped on the opportunity to turn this into a show, and I wanted to see. I said, hey, I point blank asked you, can you come up with the top five reasons to cook for yourself? And you were like, boom, here you go. I got five reasons. So a little background, you enjoy cooking. You come from a family with a history and legacy of cooking, but you're not an expert, right?
I am not an expert. I'm not an expert in any way. Basically, I grew up with two parents who one was in the late 60s, early 70s, the head chef at Harrah's in Lake Tahoe. And so I grew up hearing these stories of my father cooking snake for the Smothers Brothers and cooking for Sinatra and Sammy Davis walking in and just all these just great classic, like, and of course, I'm envisioning him like Martin Scorsese's directing these stories that my dad is telling me.
A little smoke in the corner of the casino.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, talking to my mom, you know, gets off from hosting bingo and was told to meet my dad in like the employee bar lounge, which is like only employees can get to. And she walks in and there's kind of security. And my mom says to Joe, the bartender, what's going on? She's like, he goes, Pat, just sit here. Bob told me to tell you he'll be here in a minute and just take a look over there, and who's sitting there just strumming away on the keys is Sinatra.
Wow.
And they got this, like, private show. Anyways,
wow.
My dad was the head chef of there, which brought him into the restaurant business. And my mom is a fantastic cook as well. And I grew up in a family that basically spent most of its time in between meals talking about what it was we were going to have next.
Wow. Like, it just, like, you halfway through a meal, you're already anticipating tomorrow night's dinner.
Yeah. Exactly.
And my dad likes to cook. My mom, she'll admit, not the best cook. And so I got somewhere in between. And famously, maybe, or infamously here in the Knapsack Files, I love my 7-Eleven. I love my Sizzler. I love my Del Taco. I wish, like, I do cook. And now I've got some Christmas time. I got some equipment asked for my mother, my father.
Yeah.
And I got some gifts that have increased my cooking here at home. So I've always wanted to. And then this has been a part of your life then.
Yeah, but I'm not going to claim that I grew up, like, myself cooking so much, you know.
Right.
I pretty much was a master of salami sandwiches, Lay's potato chips, Coca-Cola, and what I like to call the after-school rolled-up tortilla cheese in the microwave quesadilla.
Okay,
it wasn't until I really moved to Los Angeles and I had to kind of fend for myself. And, you know, you can only each Sunday go to Ralph's and pick up the 10 for 10 Lean Cuisines or the 5 for 5 Weight Watcher meals or whatever and go, that's perfect.
That's it.
Like, that's $10 for the week. I got drinking money and party money for L.A. You could only do that for so long.
Right.
That I found myself more and more calling my mom, being like, Mom, what's the recipe for your meatloaf? What's the recipe for this? What's this and that? And I would constantly call her, and she would be like, oh, it's a pinch of this, it's a dash of that, and I'm like, no. Like, how many teaspoons? How many tablespoons? Like, I need to... She's like, Steve, cooking is not precise. You just got to...
You gotta feel.
And I'm like, that is a bunch of horse manure. Yeah. Like, no, just tell me what it is. And through that, I eventually came to sort of, I don't want to say practice makes perfect, because I'm not a perfect cook, but essentially what it did was is it forced me to sort of work my way around a kitchen, you know, start with pasta and make that and work your way up and trial and error. And it's a lot of frustration. And oh, my God, it's so much cleanup and it's this and it's that. And then I got married.
Yeah.
And my wife and I started bonding over finding a recipe and going to the grocery store and cooking. And and now that's our thing is it's like dancing in the kitchen. We just we know what to do. And I love it. And I love cooking. And look, I'm not going to sit here and preach about health conscious or anything like that. I'm a 35-year-old overweight man, but I'm not going to lie. I'm at a point where for the last several years, four to five nights out of the week, I make meals pretty much vegetarian or vegan, but I do still enjoy and I still partake. You know, I had McDonald's not too long ago. I'll go to 7-Eleven and, you know.
Oh, would you go with me?
Oh, I'll go with you. I will say this. I've never been to Sizzler.
You've never been to... Oh, well, I'm booking you right now Hot Sizzler Nights.
I have never been to Sizzler.
Oh, we're going to have... Oh, okay, that's coming down the line. The sequel is that. And I find... And the reason this topic isn't just some, like, throwaway topic or anything to me. This was... when you hit up on it, it is something that was big in my life because when I moved to L.A. as well in 1998, just what you're saying, you know, you don't have money. You're struggling. I was eating Tina's burritos, 25 cents a burrito. The heartburn came with the package.
Oh, yeah.
And at some point, though, there's a switch that should kick in where you're like, hey, fend for yourself a little bit. And that's when health and it's not just weight, but just like the health of what you're putting in your body starts to come in. And I continue to struggle with it. In other words, I just like to eat. And I love going to my bad restaurants. But something could click in, and it should, and it didn't. For me till later. Did it really, really click in? You're like, I like this. This is important to do.
You know, when I was fortunate enough to sort of move into my house with my wife and we had a kitchen, that was the moment where, you know, I got the barbecue, I got this, and I've got one good knife, I've got one good pot, and sort of you just start practicing and it just, all of a sudden it was like, I get it.
Yeah.
Like one day it just clicked that it was, for me, I'm I cut my onions, I mince my garlic, I pour in my olive oil, I turn it on the pot, I throw in the onions, I let them sweat, get a little translucent, throw in some salt, throw in some pepper, stir it around, throw in the garlic, start browning that. That right there, that base that I just mentioned to you, is in probably 75 to 80% of all recipes I make. And that is the start of them all.
We call that the Stephen Ellis.
Yeah, that's it really is. Whether it's a pasta or a meat dish or a vegetable dish, it usually starts with that. And once I realized that and I sort of figured out the trend in certain recipes, I don't know. I got to a point where it wasn't stressful and I was able to relax. Right. Now, baking, that's a whole other story. That is, you have to follow it to the T.
Right.
It is science. It stresses me out.
It's daunting.
I go nowhere near it. And all I do is decorate the cookies when they're ready to be decorated.
I'm so bad. Over the holidays, my girlfriend and I, she's like, I want to build gingerbread houses. And I was like, absolutely. Sounds great. We went to the Trader Joe's, got like the prepackaged, you follow the numbers and you put it together. And here she is, and she's an artist. She puts together this beautiful gingerbread house, and the icing looks like snow, and the can and mine look like a windstorm had knocked off everything. So I was like, I just don't know if I have the baking skills. I can throw a hunk of meat on a grill and figure it out, but you're so right. Baking's a different level.
It's a whole other level. But I will say that was sort of once I got into my house, my wife and I were married. That was the moment where. I don't know. It all just clicked for me.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed
it. So it's all about love and marriage. This list is really, that's where it should start. No? How long have you been married now?
I have been married. I celebrated 5 years last October.
Well, there you go. So and that's a good, I love how you, that is very sweet. You and I are just getting to know each other as friends, but you seem like a very sweet man until, the buttons are turned off by events in the world. Yeah. I get that. But the way you say, like, it's something that you and your wife bonded over. That's sweet. It's a love story, guys. It's a love story. But I don't want to step on your list. You have five reasons to cook for yourself. And I know, and Steve, not to put pressure on you, but a lot of my listening audience, I have them all around the world. Thank God. I'm so fortunate. And I have a lot of agents. But I know I have a lot of coming-of-age stories out there. A lot of people coming into their own, listening here. So you could be inspiring the next generation of people who actually fend for themselves.
Oh, no pressure, Ken. No
pressure. Absolutely. So let's go. You got a five-point list, and we're going to work our way up from number five to number one starting now.
You know what? So I sent you my list.
Right.
And I numbered them incorrectly.
Oh, well.
So we're going to start with what would have been number one on yours.
Gotcha.
And also, it's probably very important to everyone. This is number five for me. It is actually cheaper to cook for yourself. It is actually cheaper to go grocery shopping and make meals for yourself. Now, I know initially when you go to the grocery store and all of a sudden it's $150, $200 all in one chunk and you're going, wait, what?
And you're swiping that credit.
Wait, hold on. $200. But look, you got to think about that as three meals a day.
Right.
Sometimes feeding more than one person. So let's say two people. That's almost $10.
Right.
That's $5 a meal.
When you're cutting it down.
When you're cutting it down. And then on top of that, we're not taking into account the fact of how much energy and time it takes to get in your car, spending gas there, go to a restaurant,
right,
or going to Postmates and paying the extra fee.
Right.
Ultimately, if you think about it, you will make your meal, you'll sit down and you'll eat it. And if you really time it out, it's actually, you're going to be done with that.
Right.
Way before your
time. So cheaper being the big point here. It's so true because, again, you and I are talking about eating 25-cent burritos, which you'll pay for it in the end eventually, especially according to your doctor. But, yeah, it's daunting because especially, you know, if you go to a specialty grocery store, which is a little different, you know, you head over to a Sprouts or a Whole Paycheck and you go there. That's overwhelming and daunting.
I will tell you what. I had a big issue with Whole Foods for many years, and my family, my sister-in-law, everyone was like, "Guy, just go. It's better food. It's better product. It's fresher. It's this. It's that." And I was like, "Whole Paycheck, get out of here! No way!" But I'll tell you what, I have been a pretty consistent shopper at either Sprouts or Whole Foods for the better part of 3 years. The big difference I notice is take grapes. You're a grape lover. I'll buy grapes at a normal chain,
right?
And pay a pretty cheap price for it. They're not very good looking,
right?
So I like my grapes nice, firm. I like them to have a little snap when I eat them.
Everyone likes good firm grapes.
But I get them because I'm like, ooh, I'm gonna eat grapes. But then 3 days later, when I remember I've got grapes, they got that weird random one that looks all bruised. Yeah. They're kind of squishy, and you're like, yeah. And then Sunday comes, you haven't eaten them. You're not going to eat them.
You're not going to.
And if you don't take them out of your fridge and throw them away, you're going to in a week.
Yeah. One of them looks like an alien pod's going to burst or something.
Yeah. Yes. Now, with Whole Foods,
it's
one of two things. It's nine times out of ten much fresher.
Yeah.
It's going to last longer. I find that it's tastier and I do like them.
Right.
But more importantly, because I paid so goddamn much for them, I'm going to eat the goddamn grapes. But there's none of those bruised grapes.
None of those bruised grapes. So it works for himself. I did not intend this because this again came out of an organic conversation. Last week we had the first ever episode of Hot Sizzler Nights with Lon Harris as a guest. And so it's like I'm counterbalancing the universe right here. First we're going to Sizzler, now we're going here. So cheaper, it's the key. And I mean, I was just talking with someone today at work where, you know, we're at work, we're all scrimping our money right now, trying to, new year, you know, and he's like, I did the math and I am spending over $100 on lunch alone every week. That's every week.
People constantly say two things to me.
Yeah.
God, you're so good about bringing your lunch. Like that's, you're so good about that. The other thing they say to me is, how do you afford to go on vacation so often? And I go, you'll notice I very rarely go out for coffee.
Right.
I very rarely, you know, buy whatever it is that you're spending $15 at Starbucks for a coffee and a egg sandwich or whatever.
Yeah.
You're spending, especially in Los Angeles, you're spending $15 minimum on lunch unless you're hitting up like Del Taco or Taco Bell. And then God knows what at dinner.
Yeah.
You know, that's half your grocery list.
Right there.
In check, or half your grocery price. You know, for instance, this last weekend, Sunday night, my wife was in Palm Springs for a friend's bachelorette party, and I went grocery shopping, and I was like, you know what, my wife right now doesn't eat meat, and this is sort of the the Pulp Fiction thing, you know, which means I pretty much don't eat meat.
You don't
eat this
meat,
particular night, I was like, you know what, it's Sunday night, I'm gonna make an artichoke.
Yeah,
I'm gonna grill up a nice New York steak. You know, and I did it, and it was great. But you know what that would have cost me if I went to the steakhouse?
Right.
Or hell, if I went to Black Angus.
Right.
You know, my steak cost me $10. My artichoke cost me $2.
Yeah.
It took me literally, you know, with the exception of boiling some water for the artichoke, it took me like 15 minutes to make.
Yeah.
And it was awesome and delicious and fulfilling and better than any steak I would have gotten in a steakhouse.
And this is why I know you and I are going to be lifelong friends here. The way you were like, I'm going to make an artichoke and a steak. It's something. It's your wild Sunday and Saturday night here, right? Yeah. But I understand because I've been doing that more. And it's like I'll literally be like 10 a.m. Be like, oh, tonight I get to grill up a steak, maybe make some mashed potatoes and some corn.
Yeah,
it's kind of exciting. But yeah, the price is important out there. So that's why it's number five. It is cheaper. What is number four?
Oh, number four is it's healthier for you.
Can't deny it, right?
I can't deny it. And again, I'm not the most healthiest person. Mm-hmm. I'm not. But, you know, it's healthier for you even when you're making something that may not necessarily be healthy.
Okay.
You know?
Explain more.
Well, Homer, you know, what the ingredients are in it. You know how much sodium is in it. You know how much sugar's in it. You know how much fats. Like, you are the decider. You're the person that puts it in there.
Right.
You know, whereas you go to a restaurant, those things are so chock full of sodium and nitrates and God knows whatever else.
Things they put into satellites.
Corn syrup, things they put into satellites, things that are in your phone. It's just...
I love going to Subway and eating yoga mats. It's no problem to me.
The Subway, no offense to Subway, but Subway reminds me of like the Play-Doh kitchen factory set as a kid. Like all the pictures, everything, it just looks like that weird fake...
Make a sandwich on the play yard.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you know, It's ultimately healthier for you. That's not a secret.
It's not a secret, but it's not something you should overlook. And have you, when you really clicked in, you said when you're married and you get the kitchen and all that kind of stuff, did you see some health benefits? Did you go through?
I've lost weight without really trying.
Right.
Just from cooking for myself.
Yeah.
Granted, it's not quick results. It's not
sure
overnight, but over time, if I look at a photo of me from 8 years ago versus, you know, 2 years ago when I really started to try and lose weight, there's actually a big difference.
Big difference.
You know?
Well, I saw you do the Kylo Ren shirtless challenge. You're all right, man.
Hey, I was a lot better about 2 years ago, but I didn't even know that was a Kylo Ren challenge.
Really?
No, until afterwards.
Well, you just randomly pulled your shirt off in a Star Wars show?
It was just a bit, you know, just it was one of those random things we came up with for the show.
I know you guys you pre-tape a bit. Yeah, you got to edit and do all this. Oh, yeah. You predicted the Kylo Ren challenge. Go check it out, guys, on Black Series Rebels. Healthier is it. All right, I got to ask you, since it's a big question, are you talking about, you know, knowing exactly what goes into it, but I mean, I get it, but it's like you're putting a dash here, a spritz here. Do you grab healthier stuff to put into it? Do you have a game plan, or you just know, hey, it's generally going to be better? Like when you go to the store, you like, I need sea salt, and
I have my like. Eventually, you get to a point.
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, let me break this down.
Yeah.
When you're starting out and you know, there are people that are scared to get in the kitchen and people that are like, sure, oh my God, it's going to be a mess. It's so much work. It's this and that. Just stop.
Right.
Just stop it.
Just
do yourself a favor. And right now, take one recipe. One recipe, and I want you to make that recipe once a week for a month.
Okay.
You know, so you're going to cook this thing four times in a month.
It's the Steve Ellis challenge.
All right. Now, just make it the first time, follow the recipe to a T.
Right.
The second time, have the recipe out. If you need to look at it, you need to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you, by that fourth time of making that recipe, you don't need to look at it.
Yeah.
that's step one to getting over sort of.
That's great stuff.
It's the repetition.
Yeah.
It's the thing of, okay, I do this. I put the water on. I boil it while that's boiling. I chop up over here. Then I'm cleaning this dish while this is in the oven over here.
Mm-hmm.
To me, the number one rule is to cook and clean as you go.
You and I are on the same page.
Because A, I never had OCD until very recently. It drives me bananas, and that's when that's what I find makes someone new in the kitchen flustered, is because all of a sudden the sink is piling up with all this stuff, and there's a mess in the corner over here. Guys, slow down. Doesn't need to be that way. Give yourself some time. What I found that I started to do very early on was I would take a recipe. In fact, when I texted you about this thing, because this all came out of me listening to your end of the year sort of
show.
And you talked about starting to really kind of cook for yourself.
Yeah.
And I, one day, I was going to be really busy. And my wife wasn't going to get home till late. And I had about 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided I'm going to go pre-cut up all of the vegetables. I'm going to pre-cut up all the ingredients. And they're all going to be in little things ready to go. So that when my wife or I get home, all you got to do is kind of dump and go. So cook and clean as you go. Prep. Take that whatever time in the morning or whatever and cut the tomato, cut the onion, cut some garlic, get the meat ready. Put it in the fridge, and then when you get home, just
you're ready to go,
and it's moderately clean and easy cleanup.
Yeah, I think that's great. The clean as you go, because there's a couple things you're saying that's such valuable insight and truth here. Is when you're really starting out, for whatever reason, there's like a fear or intimidation of this is open flame, and a pot. I saw my mom and dad use as kids, and I even at 41, I'm like, I might mess this up. I don't know what that means because I'm in control of that. Mm-hmm. But I'd be like, I don't know. What's the worst that happens? You have to toss out a pot roast and you go to Del Taco?
Yeah.
And so you have to get over that. And then, yes, it is the looking behind you and suddenly four pots. And then I feel I can enjoy my meal. So that's why I was like, oh, while that's boiling, I'm cleaning this fork up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you go. That's good stuff.
That's exactly what you do. Now, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
There's some times where I go to get a new recipe that I'm trying out for the first time.
Right.
Some of that old stress still comes back. But just, like, learn four or five recipes and really learn them and just master them. It's really easy.
What is the – have you ever had a epic fail?
All the time.
What was it? What's the worst – like, you try to cook a turkey and it turned into frog. What's the
– You know what? Rice took a very long time for me to learn how to cook properly.
Yeah.
Not in a rice cooker. And I've spent many a time having to soak pots and pans with hot water for like constantly for 3 days to be able to
get the rice
get that thing off of there. I mean, I've cooked a pizza in the oven and like an idiot over, you know, put way too much on it and not a thick enough dough. And it's of course not putting it on a pizza stone or not knowing to put it on something like that or a pan, and I just threw it on the grate, or not the grate, but the rack in the oven.
Yeah.
And it's just all,
that's because if you cook $1.99 Mama Celeste frozen pizza, the instructions like take out of the wrapper, remove cardboard, idiot, put it on rack.
Mm-hmm. But thankfully that's sturdy enough with all the preservatives that are in that
all the science holding it together.
But yeah, and then you know, next thing you know, the smoke alarm's going off because the pepperoni and the cheese have now fallen to the bottom and they're burnt up, and then you gotta either figure out how to clean the oven.
Right.
I've had lots of
fails.
Lots of fails.
And you survived to tell the tale.
I survived to tell the tale.
It's important life lessons in that. So number four is healthier. That's pretty self-explanatory, but it is true. It is important that it's on the list. So what's our number three?
So number three, I actually touched upon this a little bit earlier when I was talking about it being cheaper, was that it actually takes less time.
This is where my mind started to change. Like, oh, so I want to hear your reasoning here.
Well, it does. Look, last night I ordered Thai food. I'm not going to lie, because I was being lazy and it was a hard day and I just wanted to put on some TV and that's what it was. I order takeout at least once a week.
Gotcha. You know? So you're still living.
I still, yeah, absolutely. Central Park Pizza, the Batting Cages, best pizza in Burbank.
Oh, the one I haven't gone to those cages yet.
Yeah.
Really?
They deliver.
They deliver?
They deliver.
But do you go take some swings every once in a while and get a pitch?
Now you're talking about sports, and that's where we're not going to
okay,
be, you know.
That's fine. So I'll, tell you what,
sports?
I'll go,
football?
Yeah, I'll go take some swings in the batting cage, and then I will grab a pizza for you and head on the way home.
Yes, so takeout is still a part of my life. But it really is quicker.
Yeah.
Like, and I know I touched on this earlier where, you know,
yeah,
it literally took me, like when I cooked my steak on Saturday.
Right.
You know, I pull it out about a half hour before I put it on. I did a load of laundry, got that steak down to a little bit of room temperature, some salt, some pepper, maybe brush a little olive oil, preheated my grill. When all said is done, it was 15 minutes and I was sitting down enjoying a lovely steak. It was not only cheaper, I had that thing cleaned up, done, ingested, and was back to watching whatever, watching Atlanta. And no time.
Right.
You know how long it would take me to drive?
Put on my shoes.
Go to Black Angus.
Right.
Do you want the sampler wheel platter? Do you want the lava cake? Do you want the this? Do you want, you know, and next thing you know.
$70
later. $70 later and an hour and a half later.
Yeah.
Same thing, you know, look.
Yeah.
Yes, you probably could have driven to McDonald's, gotten a number two and a 10-piece and been back.
Call it a life.
But, you know, let's compare the meal here.
Right.
You know, not to mention, it's also a little bit better for the environment.
That's true.
You know?
You're taking a car off the road
off the road, whether that's me or the delivery
guy. You're helping the world along. And this is where I say, because when people used to, my old roommate, he loved cooking for himself, and he was good at it too, and his mom was good at it too. But he'd always, you know, chide me, joke, you know, what are you eating for dinner tonight? Purple. What package did you open up your dinner from? What microwave? You know, and I'd always say, and it's been kind of my mantra for life, was like, when I'm hungry, I'm hungry. So I like to take care of it then, and I don't like to cook, right? I would do it every now and then. I get in these little binges, and I cooked, and I had a house in Northridge for a while, and we'd cook some carne asada in the grill, my roommates and I at the time.
Yeah.
It was great. So, but it faded away. Because, you know, in L.A., you get it. You're trying to work. You're trying to do Black Series Rebels. You got your other job. You got your marriage. You're trying to do this life. We do get busy. But I found that once I stopped and realized it wasn't as long as I thought mentally. It's not 45 minutes, it's 20 minutes, and I'm watching WWE Raw while I'm eating my steak. Everything's good. Then I realized, it's a rhythm. It's all about the rhythm.
It's
going to get you.
It's all about the rhythm. The other thing is, you know, for instance, not this past Sunday, but the Sunday before, my wife and I knew we were going to have very busy weeks. We both had a lot of events and a lot of things going on, work, late nights. We decided, we looked it up, we looked up new recipes. That's the other thing. Guys that are listening, Pinterest is not just for girls.
This is a new modern age.
Pinterest has a plethora of recipes.
Would you say plethora?
Plethora. And not just, you know, weird casserole things that's the cheeseburger barbecue casserole videos you see on your Facebook feed all day long.
We turn this shrimp into ice cream.
Yeah, I highly recommend you guys getting a Pinterest account just for new recipes. Typically, a Sunday morning starts off like this.
Yeah.
My wife and I wake up, we make coffee, we lay in bed. I'm screwing around on Twitter while she's on Pinterest looking for new recipes.
Right.
We make our grocery list. If we don't have a lot going on, sometimes we will use Instacart.
Okay.
And Instacart will go and do our grocery shopping.
Yes.
If you do Instacart, I highly recommend everything that you put in your list. There's a note section. Put a note for where it's at in the grocery store because there's a lot of times that these guys just miss on that. Anyways, the point is, we'll Instacart, groceries will be delivered while we're able to take care of stuff around the house and still have a weekend. We made pre-made all of our meals for the week. So it was like we made sort of like a, you guys are going to go ill. We made like, we pre-made this thing that was a chickpea loaf that was sort of like a meatloaf, but with chickpeas and seasonings. And it was actually very delicious.
I'm game. There would have been a time in my life I would have asked you to leave my house, but I'm okay with what this is.
You know, and we kind of prepped and pre-made all these things so that when we got home, all we had to do was throw it in. This now brings me to another hot tip.
Right.
Invest in a crock pot.
Right. I don't have that yet.
Invest in a crock pot because there's like literally you make it the night before, you throw it in the crock pot in the morning, pull the crock pot dish out of the fridge, plop it into the little heating thing, turn it on low, walk away, come home, serve yourself dinner.
There you go. Like, so it can't get any faster than that.
It can't get any faster and better than that. So that's your first, that's number one.
Right.
If you've never cooked before in your life, start with the crock pot and get one of those, like, 100 crock pot recipes, or better yet, go on Pinterest and look those up.
Because
there's all kinds of that. But we prepped everything for the week and had all our meals, and then we had leftovers for lunches.
Yeah.
You know, and it just...
And see, and this, I'm always looking here in the Knapsack Files for, like, the truth beyond what we're talking about. And what you're talking about is looking ahead, planning. It is the ability to discipline, all those things. These are all important skills for all aspects of your life and career. And if you can buckle down and do it here with your food, perhaps one of the most important things, because you're putting it in your damn mouth, you're on the way to success. I really think that. And that's where I think for years, I'm too scatterbrained. I don't take the time to prepare, the time to think about myself and focus. You know, that's where I think a lot of people might fail. And that's one of the lessons in what I think you're saying here.
The other benefit of it is I got a lot of Ken Knapsack podcasts to listen to.
There's too many.
And I find that while I'm prepping my meals, that's when I get to listen to a lot of my favorite podcasts.
Perfect.
Like the Knapsack Files.
Oh, well, we appreciate your patronage here. So that is number three on the list. We're working our way up to number one with number two.
Look, it's always fulfilling, not just in your tummy, but when you cook for others.
Yes.
So this brings me to where...
Love this one.
Let's say you've mastered your four or five recipes.
Right.
And you're going, you know what? I cleaned the house up. The table's looking nice. All the mail's off of it. I'd like to entertain my friends for once, have them over, and maybe make them this meal that I've mastered in 4 weeks.
Right.
There's something, look, yes, I'm a guy that apologizes profusely for everything and anything that I don't even necessarily need to be apologizing for.
Again, this is why we're going to be good friends.
My wife still, you know, even when I make something, I'm always like, oop, you know,
yeah,
sorry, I kind of overcooked, or oops, sorry, a little too much salt, or oops, and it drives my wife nuts.
Right.
But I'll tell you what, either they're lying to me or they're just really nice. I find that even when I'm apologizing for something about what I make them, the guests are loving it and usually ask for the recipe.
Right.
Well, it's true. Sign. There's nothing more fulfilling, I truly feel, than breaking bread and making a meal for your friends and family.
I really believe that. There's a sense of, again, I just really started picking up steam cooking for myself. And I the other day, like, I've been cooking like a little breakfast for me and my girlfriend, or, you know, I was so excited. I was like, I figured out how to make a different like a quesadilla, but like a real good one here. And we sat here and my girlfriend was so happy. And I don't think I've ever felt as accomplished in my life as watching the woman I love eat the food I prepared for her. You know, it just was this caveman, like, I have kept us going through the winter. It was very good. And especially with life, and life's tough. The world's crazy. We all battle with some sort of depression or some kind of pressures from the outside world. There, it is an organic endorphin blast when you've taken care of yourself, or, as you're saying, the gift to another person or other people. It's important.
It's true. You know, I recommend breakfast as a good starting point.
Yeah.
Master making a fried egg.
Fried, huh? I go scrambled.
Scrambled's good, but do you use milk?
I use some milk.
Next time, use water.
Okay. I'm listening.
Use water. You won't get... It'll be fluffy. It'll be moist.
Yeah.
And you won't have the weird... It's nothing, but you won't have that weird kind of milky looking...
I know what you're talking about.
Film.
Okay.
That is like sweat.
So water is the difference maker.
There's a little bit of a trick there.
Okay. I'm going to try because I've got some eggs probably tomorrow
not a
morning.
Lot, but just a little bit.
Do you mind if I call you about 7:42 tomorrow morning?
I'll be up at 6 a.m., so it's good to go, pal. It's when the coffee maker goes off. Hear that grinder. But I recommend making breakfast. I think that breakfast is thinking about it and reflecting about it, that's where my wife and I really started to kind of experiment and make breakfast.
Right.
Because at the time, we loved making, you know, you can't go to the Hill Street Cafe all the time, you know. So we would, you know, make some. I like my eggs over medium. I like to I like to dip my sourdough in the yolk and have some bacon and make some hash browns. And I think that's where we really started to experiment in the kitchen was with breakfast. So make that your first kind of thing, because you make breakfast for someone, especially maybe you just started dating.
Yes, yes.
It doesn't get any better than that. And let's be real, screwed up breakfast is still delicious.
It's still good, right? I think that was a safe starting point for me too. And then that's like eggs is one thing. And my dad makes, like, in his church, he's known for, like, scrambled eggs. Mm-hmm. Like, they're like, we got an event coming up. We have a volunteer staff in the morning. Bring Al over. He's good with the eggs. So I think a little bit of the legacy passed on to me, but I'm always looking to improve. I'm going to switch to water.
Does he put cheese on them?
He does put cheese on them, which I do too. And I'll even put a little sprinkle of cheese in the pan before I put the eggs in. But that was when I first started, like, all right, I got eggs. I'm going to add meat to the equation. That's when I really first learned how to throw in that meat or another item, where you're cooking eggs and another item. Like we talked about the rhythm earlier.
Yes.
Like you got your feet going, it's all going. So breakfast is a good starting point.
Slap on a good album, a good Sunday morning.
Oh yeah. What's your choice? This coming Sunday, what are you gonna slap on?
Oh man. So I'm a big fan of this guy, Leon Bridges. His album Coming Home is just I put it on when I'm making dinner. I put it on when I'm making breakfast. It's just, it's really, really good.
He's a mainstay on 88.5.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
My favorite song to play on a Sunday morning while I'm making breakfast is Rolling Stones' Beast of Burden.
Wow. Love it. It's like a Scorsese movie right there.
It's just got like this moment. It's good to go.
Just like I'm sure Mick Jagger intended.
Absolutely.
When he laid down those vocals. Keith, this would be great for making eggs too. It is fulfilling. That's an important one. Number two on the list. It's fulfilling. Try it. It's like the gift of food, the gift of sustenance. It's a good thing. And it does. I'm not joking, kids. It actually makes me feel really good. Like I feel, even when it's just for myself, when I, one of those nights where I'm like, all right, I'm not going to go have a yoga mat sandwich. I'm going to come home and I'm going to cook the items that I've got. Cause I spent money on it. I do have the Alien Pod grapes. There's some boysenberries I got to get rid of after you leave tonight. When I went to get us the water from my fridge, I was like, oh, those are still in there. Those are probably moving.
Freeze them.
Freeze them. All right.
Freeze everything.
It might be too late for this batch, but I'm going to do it going forward.
Oh, no. Freeze them and then make a smoothie in the morning.
I got to get a blender. Since I moved in, I don't have a blender. But anyways, even when it's just myself, it's like, I feel good. So that is the first four. Now we need number one. The number one reason to cook for yourself from our friend Steve Ellis is...
So you're going to notice a routine here with me. I love family.
Okay.
I love cooking with my wife. Most of all, my mom and my godmother about 5 years ago made the We Are Family cookbook. And it's basically almost every recipe for every item, whether it's a main dish, a salad, an appetizer, a dessert, a cookie, a soup, you name it.
Right.
Every one of our sort of family tradition recipes are in this book. Now, if you are fortunate enough to have three things that you just absolutely were your favorite things growing up that your parents made or your grandma made or some uncle made or, you know, your dad made eggs.
Right.
To me, learning to cook and learning to cook family recipes, in my opinion, is what keeps sort of family traditions alive.
It's almost like the old country or something.
It is.
Or the old West.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's a way of sort of connecting with family members still here and that are not here anymore.
Right.
And it's sort of this...
It's like grandma's pasta sauce or something, you know? You want to, you carry it on down. That's a great point.
You know, it's still, when I make my grandmother's pasta sauce, that smell of the parsley and the rosemary and the onion and the garlic and the salt and the pepper and the bay leaf and just all the, you know, before you're getting those cans of tomatoes... That smell, and then when it's sitting there and it's been cooking for like 4 or 5 hours on low on your stove, and you get back from wherever you just were, and you walk into the house and you smell it, that smell is just it reconnects you with your family members, and it keeps those traditions living on.
I love that, man. That is good. I mean, I think a regret. I got my grandmother, who's 92, 93 now, from Russia, from Ukraine, and my grandfather, they cook a lot, and I wouldn't want to cook. My grandfather's beef stew is really just salt with a broth. But by the way, there's a big difference between beef stew and beef soup. I just, in my mind, as I'm saying it out loud. But like, you know, she would, you know, again, Ukrainian, so, you know, pierogies and all this kind of stuff. And I don't know how to cook those, you know. And I wish I was too young when she was really doing that. She doesn't cook anymore. I wish I had that opportunity. So it's good for you to press pause right now and for you to say, hey, you can carry on and really kind of connect to your family's past and take it forward.
Yes.
Just by cooking.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, you know, for instance, the pasta sauce. I now have that recipe that I now know by heart and I can make it. But now I have my little things that I've thrown in for my little flavors and, you know, and added on to it and made it my own.
It's almost like you a Game of Thrones fan?
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's almost like the book of the Kingsguard, you know, and each guy has his history written down. And Jaime Lannister sits there with almost a blank page while Joffrey's saying, you haven't done not much of a story there, uncle. You get to write your own story. You're carrying on the tradition that has been there for ages, but now you're in the driver's seat. It's your journey to add to that story. That is all in a kitchen. All happening in a kitchen.
Yes, sir.
That's good stuff. That's a lesson for all of us. Have you created anything that's like starts a tradition that will start with you and carry on with others?
You know, I don't know that it's going to be as epic and as amazing as, you know, my grandma's pasta sauce or, my dad's clam chowder. I've got recipes that my wife and I make that I have a feeling will be weekly dinners that we make for when we have kids and it's throughout the week and things like that. I don't think they'll be epic.
But it'll be some
party
little
mainstays.
Yeah.
But there will be little. I think my wife definitely has some recipes there.
Love it. You're putting it down in the book and carry it on. And you never know. Your kids years from now will have a memory of even something as simple as toast. And the way you prepared toast will carry on. I know. When I I'm 41. Sometimes when I go home, I ask my mom, and I'm like, Mom, can you make the toast? Because she just made it in a mom kind of way. Got love in it. And it takes me back to second grade. Steve, man, seriously, I love you and Alex talking Star Wars. But to get you outside of that, it's fun to learn. And again, I think it's something simple. Cooking for yourself, but I think there's deep lessons in it, and that's the important thing. So thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me, Ken.
No problem. And maybe we'll break bread together one day.
Hit up Sizzler.
We're going to do that. And maybe we'll do it in a kitchen of our own. Guys, before I check out, Steve, I want you to let them know where you can be found and what you and Alex are doing over on Black Series Rebels.
Yeah, I can be found at Rex Manning on Instagram and Twitter. I'm a big fan of Empire Records, and when I first signed up, that was my handle, and thankfully it wasn't taken.
Yeah.
But you can find us over Black Series Rebels at BLK Series Rebels on Twitter and Instagram. And yeah, we're a weekly, you know, Star Wars talk show that's news, reviews, and interviews. And if I had to describe it, we're sort of like a Wayne's World of Star Wars.
It's a great way to describe it, and in the best possible way. It's not the hello Wayne and hello Garth Wayne's world. It is the core of it. You guys are great. I hope to come back soon. I'm not inviting myself on like an a-hole, but I really
open door anytime.
Really had a great time with you guys. So guys out there, if you're Force Center fans and you haven't heard of the Black Series Rebels yet, check out Alex and Steve or Rex Manning over there. And you can also check a Star Wars rank they did just back in December about the best Black Series Star Wars figures out there. That is it for this week. Life Rank, guys. But the Knapsack Files goes on, a new show every week. New things being added in 2018. I got that show, the TNF Hotline, starting soon. Hot Sizzler Nights is out. This Is Life is in the works with me and Owen Mugen. We got some stuff going on. Plus the regular interviews, lining up some guests for that. This podcast is available on Podomatic, Podomatic Mobile. It is on Stitcher. It is on Google Play, Apple Podcasts. And, guys, very excited to announce I am on iHeartRadio under their podcast. You can find the show there and listen to it for free. That is great. That puts this show in front of the ears of a lot more people and makes it available in Alexa and Google Home and Apple Car, whatever it's called, all that kind of cool stuff. So I'm excited to announce that. And don't forget, we have the Patreon page if you want to support. That is it for this week, guys. Life has been wrecked.